Thanks for listening to The Kick-Ass Life with David Wood. Stay connected on Facebook, / The Kick-Ass Life, on Twitter, at The Kick-Ass Life, and of course, at thekickasslife.com.
Hello, this is David Wagner. I'm a daymaker, and you're listening to David Wood on The Kick-Ass Life Show.
Life better?
This is the Kick-Ass Life Podcast with David Wood.
So, good morning, good morning. Welcome to the show. And yesterday when I arrived back, I was away training in Vancouver this weekend. We had a gorgeous sunny day. You know, I went out, I'm just buying a new property, and I went out and sat on the deck and I was enjoying the sun. I haven't bought it yet, but I keep going over there. There's no one living there at this moment. And I keep sitting out there and just sort of, you know, planning a little bit of what it's gonna be like, you know, to live in this new location. And the location has a really, really, really gorgeous view. And so I was sitting out there in the sunshine and, you know, really having that feeling that spring's on the way, and I'm off skiing with the boys there on spring break. And I wake up this morning, I look out, and there is snow everywhere. I'm talking about thick snow. I mean, it must have snowed 2 or 3 inches last night, which is great. You want to go skiing, but that's a wonderful thing about Canada, you know, especially this area. We have these wonderfully intense, hot, hot, hot summers. And then we have this crazy snow in the winter. And spring skiing here, they call it champagne powder. If you've never skied here, come to Kelowna. Come to Kelowna, K-E-L-O-W-N-A. It's like a Four Seasons Wonderland. Lakes and, you know, great mountain biking. There's amazing skiing, 4 ski hills. There's 148 wineries within an hour of my house. I mean, it's just, they call it the Napa Valley of the North. So if you're looking for someone to come, come here. And if you're not coming here, you should go to an island in Belize. I hear it's amazing. Yeah, that's right. I really, really would love you to start thinking about you going to Belize. Thatch Cay Resort, or Thatch Cay, C-A-Y-E, thatch like a thatch roof. But yeah, check that out too if you want to come and vacation there. I'd love to have you come and enjoy our little island. But apart from that, my guest today is phenomenal. And before I talk about my guest, I want to talk about and dedicate the show to somebody I met when I was climbing Kilimanjaro. And there was something about his energy and presence, which actually reminds me a lot of my guest today. And they have the same name. They share the same name. So this dedication of the show is going to Michael Keating in London, England. Michael, thank you. And just the kind of guy, as soon as I met him, I kind of knew that we were going to travel life's roads together and that we would be lifelong friends. It just has that, he has that type of personality. And so my guest has the same type of thing, a lot of passion, a lot of just very relaxed. You know, when people are sort of completely relaxed in their body, and just sort of show up. And so both these guys are like that. So, and it was so much fun, you know, being on a trip through Africa with people like Michael. He was just a joy to be around. And he's one of the co-founders of Inc. Magazine. I'm going to actually have him come on the show and share their story. Inc. Magazine is a company that creates magazines for all the airlines. So we're flying back on KLM from Africa, and I pull out this gorgeous magazine. Well, who is it? It's from Inc., I-N-C, right? Inc. Magazine. And is it I-N-K? It could be Inc., I-N-K. You know what? I think it's I-N-C. Michael, forgive me. I have a very small brain. Anyway, but just a great, great job. And how they, he sent me an email last night that said that, I haven't heard the story yet, but I'm looking forward to it. I did a show last week on flipping coins and the importance of flipping coins and helping make decisions that way. And he said his company was born from a coin flip. So I'm really looking forward to hearing that story. Anyway, so my guest, you know, very, very surprising, you know, when somebody, when I was asked to have him on the show, and I said, "Well, what does he do?" You know, and he said, "Well, he's a drummer. He has a website called Mike's Lessons." And I'm thinking, "Oh, a drum instructor, awesome!" But honestly, there was a part of me that was like, "Oh, okay." But little did I know that as I started to get to know him and discovered his story, that it's one of these great stories, a great story of somebody following their heart, a great story of someone who lives in such passion that it is so contagious that he's turned it into a multi-million dollar enterprise for himself. But when you hear his story unfold and you hear how he really had to let go he was living the sort of the famous life, you know, famous musician and touring the world and had it all as a young, 21-year-old. And then really following his heart and listening to that little voice that talks to us. And the kick-ass life practitioner is somebody that can hear that voice. It's easy to discount the voice. It's easy to not even hear the voice with all the other noise going on in our heads about, be rational, it doesn't make sense, this is the craziest thing you'll ever do, don't do it, be safe, blah, 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 right? Here's a guy that really listened to that little voice and really was willing to do something from the very core of his passion, from the very core of his being, that something that lit him up. And when people light up, you can't help but make money, and that's exactly what's happened. Well, obviously, they got to light up, and then they got to treat it like a business. So he lit up, and he built a business. But he built a business on the foundation of giving what people need and really, really looking at what his needs were as a musician and then being able to create that. But his story, it doesn't matter what you do for a living. It doesn't matter what industry you're in. It doesn't matter where you are in your life. This information is just timeless and hopefully will awaken in you your ability to hear that voice more clearly and to follow those paths. Follow those paths because, life is very, very short. I have an interview coming up this week with somebody who lost a loved one. And who knew? Who knew this was going to happen? Out of the blue, boom, right? And so that can happen to any of us. So as you listen in to the wonderful Mike Johnson, I want to intro him. I just pulled up one of his drum solos on YouTube, and it's great. This is I'll just play the last sort of minute of it. So he's at Woodstock here, and what's fascinating to me when I watch him play is watching the reaction of everyone. People could be walking by, and as soon as he starts playing, they have to stop. And they get sort of sucked in to the orbit of his drums. Anyway, so listen to this, and then listen in as we have a chat with the wonderful Mike Johnston. I always start the show the same way, and I always think I'm going to come up with something new. But every time I have a guest on the show, I have this feeling of excitement. So I can't think of anything else to say except I'm really excited. And what I'm really excited about with this guy is that he's the consummate teacher, and from such a deep well of passion. And I've just been looking through his videos and watching the way that he connects electronically and with his audience and his passion of his instrument, which I'm going to talk about in a second. So before I get too far ahead of myself, Mike, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. Thank you very much for having me.
Well, you're welcome. And there's something about your passion that is even just a moment ago when we were sort of face to face here and just looking into the way that you sort of addressed the world. Did you sort of grow up passionate? I mean, has it always been a part of your arsenal of the way you show up, or is it something you've learned?
I think it's both, actually. I've always been passionate about teaching. That's something where I remember even learning in school, I didn't care if I got good grades or bad grades. I wanted to retain the information so I could pass it on to somebody else in a more, I guess, easily digestible way. So when somebody would teach me something about history, I would be constantly reteaching myself how I was going to explain it to somebody else. And that's definitely been a big misconception with most of my, I don't want to call them fans, but I guess, you know, virtual students. They think my passion is my instrument, and that's definitely not the case. My instrument is my hobby. My passion is delivering education or information to other people in maybe a way that they've just never had it delivered to them before.
And that, you know, again, I'm new with your work. I'm totally in love with your style. I've watched three or four of your videos today, and typically I don't do that. I like, you know, when I'm meeting someone new, I like to sort of wait, but it was really cool to look at your engagement in so many ways. I mean, you can engage people who are standing behind you.
Wow.
You know, and that's a real rare gift. So this teaching thing, obviously one of my big passions is training teachers and teaching teachers.
Sure.
And to have somebody who has this natural arsenal of so I think everything it takes to be a great teacher, which I think humility is one of those things I noticed in your videos as well, is deeply humble. But when you first started sort of stepping into teaching as a profession, when you started making money at it, was it a harder transition from just loving to teach to then making money at teaching?
Yeah, I think what was hard was conveying, I guess, the message that I wanted to charge people for what I felt deserve to be charged for. That's a really hard thing, to be a teacher and not come off as a salesman. I wanted it to be as organic as possible. You know, I also wanted to get better at my craft. A lot of people don't know that I did about 3.5 years of teaching on YouTube for free to develop my delivery to a camera. Actually, what's odd is right now I'm talking to you. You and I are not using video, and I'm staring at the webcam because I don't know how to not now engage the camera. And I just realized I don't even need all the lighting that I have here right now. But, you know, so I had to develop that. And when I got to a point that I felt proud of the delivery, and I felt like, okay, I'm actually making a connection with the camera that is very similar to the connection I would make in a room with a private student, that's when I felt comfortable charging and becoming a professional, online educator as well. And I think the other thing was realizing the value in education from both sides of the coin. And when I charge for something, I take it more serious as an educator because I know you're paying for it. So I can't mess around and I can't be incorrect about what I'm saying. I need to do my research and make sure the education I'm delivering is proper. But the bigger part is when the student pays for it, that's when the education finally becomes valuable, because everything I could ever teach on my instrument is available for free on YouTube. But so why doesn't everybody just learn it? It's all there. Well, it's because it's free, and we don't value free education the way we value paid education. So when you pay $2 for this video lesson, you're going to get your money's worth. And when I charge $2, I'm going to try to give you $10 worth.
Yeah. Great philosophy. You know what's great is we haven't talked about what it is you teach yet, which I love. So many people like me may not know that you're actually one of the most accomplished drummers and drum teachers and truly a gifted teacher. And I love so much of what you said and sort of going back into this connection with the camera. I mean, obviously you and I were talking through Skype, and the reason why I always sort of, if I'm long distance with someone, I use Skype is because I want that physical connection. And I hunger for it in the same way you do. And it's really interesting that in the conversation, how connected you were. It was like you were in the same room. And again, so that is a practice skill. But, you know, so many teachers when they're and you know, I think anyone who's listening who's really interested in a kick-ass life, you know, is at some point going to be in front of people and inspiring them through what they're passionate about in some way. So the relevancy of what you're saying, I mean, what I think is much more than most people may think at this moment as we start this conversation. But this connection piece, You know, obviously, it's something that you say you practiced through YouTube for years to connect through the camera. But if I go back into, you know, a kick-ass life and the fact that you really have attracted to you, and I think they are fans, but, you know, you call them students. What is it about a real connection between people, let alone between a teacher and a student? What have you learned over the years about that connection?
It's a really good question. I know for myself, what I've had to do is a lot of self-analyzing, because in the drum world, there's been hundreds of other drummers much more accomplished than myself that have tried to do what I'm doing. And for whatever reason, it didn't work. And so I've been asked over and over again, why is it working for you? And not to be self-demeaning, but sometimes people are brash enough to say, why is it working for you when this guy, other guy's so much better? And it's like, and that's just the case of the instrument. You know, I'm not the best. And I had to do a lot of self-analyzing. Why is it working? Well, one thing I realized was that a lot of people that try to inspire, that's plan B for them. Plan A was doing it. They wanted to be the motorcycle racer. They wanted to be the professional touring drummer, whatever the case may be. Well, one of the reasons why this works for me is this is plan A. I was signed to a record deal and I was touring, you know, maybe 300 days out of the year. And I quit my band and I quit, and I left my record label so that I could be a full-time educator. So this is plan A. And I think that passion comes through across the camera. And that's one thing that helps me connect. And I've watched people that are, like I said, far superior to me teach on camera. And I can tell, like, dude, you don't want to be here right now. You want to be out on the road. I can see it in your eyes. And I think my students can see in my eyes, I do want to be here. This is my dream. I'm in the middle of my dream right now, and I want to share that through the camera. The other difference that I've noticed with all online educators and all even great speakers, or not so great speakers, I should say, is a lot of them just, they don't speak actually to the person on the other end of the computer. All my videos, if you watch my videos, they always start with the same line, which is, what's up, YouTubers and Facebook cats, which is, I'm acknowledging that you're watching this on YouTube or on Facebook. I'm letting you know that I made this for you. This isn't a cut from my DVD that was made for a different project. This is made for you, and I'm talking to you, and I'm laughing with you, and we're on this journey together. And that's the other, I guess, to wrap up that point that you made, is I try to let my students know there is no better or worse. I can't possibly be better than you or worse. What I am is at a different point in the timeline. The beginning of the timeline is the day you start playing the drums, and the end of the timeline for most drummers is Buddy Rich. He's kind of considered the greatest ever was. So wherever you are in your drumming, it's not worse than me, it's earlier than me. You're earlier on this journey than I am, or maybe you're further along on this journey. And that's kind of how I've always viewed all of these students. That's how I relate to them. Rather than being better or worse than them, I'm just at a different point on the timeline than they are.
That's so great. And I want to cross over, because obviously not everyone around the world, we're in 154 countries, is maybe passionate about drumming. But I think what we're talking about crosses over into every passion that someone could have, right?
Absolutely. And that's what I said, you know, kind of in the beginning of this interview, is that my passion is teaching. You know, the drums are just the outlet. The drums are my hobby. But if you allow me to teach about astronomy or astrophysics, you'll see the same glimmer in my eye. As long as I'm explaining something, I'm in heaven, man.
You know, what's interesting, I watched a video of you this morning, and I can't tell you where it was, but sure. You're at a festival and you're kind of on your own, and there's all these guys sitting around behind you. And they all look like they're musicians, and you start off, and everyone's looking pretty kind of, you know, in their own world and self-absorbed and sure. Sort of staring at their feet and picking their noses. And suddenly you start to play. And I just want to give you context about what I witnessed in watching that video is, as you started to play and as this instrument and you just sort of merged into one, and I don't want to sound too woo-woo here, but that was my interpretation of what was going on. Suddenly sure. These guys started standing up and they started to be totally engaged, and you could see in their, you could see in their demeanor, because I couldn't see every sort of nuance of their face, but I could see in their demeanor that you sort of lifted them off the chairs into your sort of, into this moment of playing, which was so, by the way, which was amazing. And again, I'm not a drummer, so I can't tell what's great and whatnot. Well, all I can tell is how I feel. But I did notice this whole, everyone around you, and I could hear from there was obviously people in front of you as well. Do you find, even though you don't say you're the best or anything like that, is there something about when you connect to that instrument that does that with people around you? Because I, again, in the videos I've watched, that's what I seem to witness.
Sure. No, I would definitely be lying. I think saying the drums are a hobby is a little bit of an understatement because I've been doing it since I was 5 and I've been obsessed with it. But I guess the reason why I kind of break it into those two categories is because if you took the drums away from me, I wouldn't die. I'd still be here. If you took explaining things to people away, I don't want to be here anymore. So it's almost like a life and death thing to me to be able to explain things to other people. Wow, I got a little choked up there. Okay, so
I love it, and that's why I didn't interrupt you there. Question though on that, Mike'sLessons.com is your website.
Yes, sir.
And this has become the extension of your passion to teach. And again, because I'm so passionate about teachers, that's why I'm so excited about this particular conversation we're having. And I, like I said to you, I love stepping into new relationships, and I just feel that this is the beginning of that. So with you though, as this educator who's found his calling, and to the point where you feel like, you know, if you took away the ability to teach, that, you know, the sort of the meaning that you have in life would diminish greatly.
Sure.
What is it when you're teaching? Could you give me sort of what you observe in teaching? What is it that fills your well when you're in that mode, when you're in the zone? And I'm sure I kind of understand where you go. I feel, because I know that when I'm in my zone when I'm teaching, it's almost like time and space disappears in some way. Again, I'm sounding very woo woo, but
I agree with you.
Give me some juice on that, because I know so many people are out there looking for their passion right now, and so many people listen to this show saying, I want a kick-ass life, and they're in jobs they dislike. They're doing stuff that doesn't motivate them or inspire them, and there's a guy like you who really could have just made a career of drumming and was already signed to a record label and traveling around the world, living the life that most people would seek, yet you came back and here you are just being driven by a whole different thing, which is really helping others step into something great, right?
Sure. Well, no, I'll give you some context of that. And then I'll definitely tell you, what fuels me in the teaching, and the reason why I became so addicted to it and why I want to get much better at it. You know, while touring, we were lucky enough, we were not the biggest band in the world, but we were lucky enough to be the kind of the opening act for the biggest bands in the world of the 90s in the rock scene. So I call them Rage Against the Corn Tones, which is all those metal bands put together, but Rage Against the Machine and Foo Fighters and Blink 182. So we were constantly playing to 20 or 30,000 people, or if we were in Europe on those festivals, maybe 100,000 people. And on stage, I would feel nothing. I would play the songs and it was fine and everything was good. And then as soon as the show was over, the other drummers from that tour would get together on my bus or on our band's bus. And I would bring out a practice pad and I would teach them something that was in my head while I was playing the show to 100,000 people. While I was in the middle of the world's dream, I felt nothing. And then when that dream was over and I was teaching these drummers something, that was my high. And it clicked, like, oh my gosh, this is crazy. I'm in the middle of most drummers' dreams and I don't care at all. But as soon as the show's over and I get to explain one thing, I'm just in heaven. And so that's when I made the decision to, you know, leave this mega lifestyle. And I had no idea about, I mean, this is in the 90s. There was no online lessons. I was going to teach, which I did, at a local music store. I was going to have 50 or 55 students a week and drop my income by about a 30th. Or I mean, you know, have a 30th of what I had. But I knew I'd be happy. And I actually told my wife now, but my girlfriend at the time, I remember telling her these words. I said, I'm going to quit my band and I'm going to start teaching drums. I'm going to stay home. We're not going to have any money. We were going to drive very bad cars and we're going to have a very bad apartment, but I will never come home and yell at you. I'll never hit you. I'll never say that I want to quit my job. I will be happy. Are you okay with that? And she supported it 1,000,000%. So that was the start of making this transition.
What's funny right there is I got choked up on that one. I got a little water running out my eyes right there.
That's, I think you and I need to get endorsed by Kleenex.
What a couple of babies we are.
Exactly. Okay, let's man up. All right, this is a kick-ass life, man. Right. So I'm going to eat a stick of deodorant right now and be a real man. So after I made that decision, obviously I started really paying attention to the teaching. And what I think you and I both go through is there's simple wow factor in teaching, which I don't put a lot of credence in, which is telling somebody something brand new and teaching them something brand new. That's easy. I can do that and wow you all day long with stuff you didn't already know. The real high is teaching you something you already have been taught 10 times in a row, but I'm going to deliver it in a new way that it finally clicks. And that's my job on every single subject in drumming is, I know you've heard this a million times from your band teacher and from your drum teachers, and I know you just nodded your head and you pretended like you understood, but I don't believe you did understand. And I've got a new way to explain it that for the first time it'll click. And that's what happens in my clinics and in my masterclasses. When I see all of their eyes just bulge out of their head and they're looking around each other like, oh my God, I actually get it. That's when I have chills and I'm like, oh, we're here. This is the zone. This is why I teach.
Mm. I love to study you and watch what you're doing, because I in my advanced class, I teach about, you know, the VACs, the visual, auditory, kinesthetic, and the using emotion. And really the idea is to light up the whole brain. And when you light up the brain, you have that engagement, but you have people remembering things 10 years from today. They're going to remember the lessons they had with you because you were able to light them up in a way that they were never lit up before by a teacher. So I'm sure if we were to study you while you taught, we could see all of those things that probably are innate, or maybe you study, maybe you actually practice in it, or you've prepared yourself so well that you're actually conscious of how to light up people's brains that way. But do you get that sort of concept of when you deliver teaching, that it lights people up in such a way that they don't just get it, but they remember it and they'll remember it 10 years from today? And that's a whole different level of teaching, right?
Absolutely. And I honestly, I didn't get it. It taught me a lot about natural talent because I didn't get it. I remember when the YouTube thing was kind of exploding for me, and then eventually the online business, I was really honestly, very honestly thinking to myself, why do you guys care? Like, I'm just doing what I'm just teaching. Like, this is how everyone does it. And it took me a while to realize, no, this isn't how everyone does it. There are some teachers, like I said, that teaching is plan B. They wanted to be doing something else. It didn't work out. And they thought, well, I guess I'll teach. And so it took me a while to realize that, and to realize that I actually had a natural talent for explaining things to people. And that talent was directly tied to passion. I really enjoy explaining things to people. And then I'd watch other drummers that were, like I said, far superior to me, and they didn't have that talent for explaining things. And I thought, oh man, that's weird. I just figured since you were better than me or further along on the timeline, that you'd be a great teacher. The other thing is I really did, I idolized Michael Jordan as his approach to basketball. I'm very unsportsy. I don't know how to play any sports, but I really idolized the way he approached the game of basketball. And I really thought it was odd that the greatest player of all time was the hardest practicer of all time. And he stayed later than everybody, and he got there earlier than everybody. And it's like, but he doesn't need to, he's so good. So I started doing that when people would tell me like, oh man, you're a great explainer. You know, it really clicked with me when you explained that. I thought, okay, that's a trigger. Like, every time you compliment me on my teaching, I'm going to work harder. So I started watching TED Talks, and I would try to find subjects that were 100% foreign to me. So in the beginning, it was like string theory or something. I mean, if you can make me understand string theory, you must be one heck of a teacher. And I found Brian Greene. Brian Greene is a professor and an astrophysicist who, he actually made string theory make sense. Now, I don't understand it legitimately, but he explained it in such a way that it was like, man, thank you so much for talking to me and not talking down to me and not trying to talk over my head to prove that you have a degree, but actually talking to me about this. So that was part of the studying to become a better teacher, was to find other speakers and say, okay, I don't know anything about, you know, recycling. I'm going to watch this video and see if this person makes it click for me, you know? So yeah, it was a lot of observations.
So I want to ask you a couple of things with this. You're in your studio right now, right?
Yes, sir.
Are you close to your drum set?
I am.
I've never had this happen to me. I've never had somebody. Is it a chance that you could give us a little delve into your drums and maybe play us a little lick or something just so that we can hear it? Is it possible?
Sure. I mean, I'm sure through the webcam it's going to be pretty distorted, but you'll hear it in the background for sure.
Let's just try see how it sounds. If it sounds crappy, then we'll put a disclaimer on this one.
That sounds good. Or yeah, you can just edit this out in this moment in time. Never happened. Brought to you by Mike Eating Deodorant. I'll be right back.
I'm on the drum set now.
All right. He's at the drum set.
That's something for you guys from Africa. The melodic Namigo.
Here we go. Awesome. That was awesome. You know, and you're right. It didn't sound as great as it would as the videos I just watched. But I suppose, you know, it's really interesting that here we are talking about, you know, and spending so much time talking about this whole teaching thing. But the one thing that, again, comes through the second I even watched your video, but then the second we talked was your passion for life, for living, just your passion for what you do. Do you think that passion, with so many people out there who really haven't locked into passion, and obviously what you must do quite often is step people over that hurdle from a life that doesn't have that sense of the divine, the sense of passion, that you sort of jump that hurdle. Do you find that, I mean, when you walk through life on a daily basis, do you notice people sort of lacking that sense that you have?
Actually, I'll give you a very personal story. That's my wife. And it's been really difficult. You know, I mean, we never fight or anything like that. But she was an insurance agent when I met her. And we both just kind of had, you know, we just worked. And I didn't realize how lucky I was to be able to identify my passion. And then all of a sudden, you know, the business grew to a point that financially we were free to do whatever she wanted, where I said, okay, you know, what do you want to do? And I didn't really know that. I think I was so obsessed with my teaching and my drumming that I didn't know that my wife didn't have a passion at all. She had a passion for life itself, but we couldn't find a hobby that she was obsessed with the way I was with drums. And it was really shocking for me because I didn't know how to deal with it at first. And so I would say, okay, well, close your eyes. And what's the first thing you think of? Like, we can afford, you know, we're very lucky because of our business, whatever you want, it was weird. It was really weird to find a human being that didn't have a passion, especially somebody that I love so much. And it was just something where I said, look, I just need you to go through life for the next year with your eyes and emotions open to things that click for you. I don't care what it is. If it's, you know, knitting, then it's knitting. There is no good or bad in passion. It just has to be a passion. So when you watch a cooking show, does it do anything for you? When you see this, and so time went on, and eventually we realized that she was overly sensitive to certain things, which was animals, mainly dogs. I'd have to turn the commercials off if it was one of those SPCA things, because she, like, it was sad for me, but she literally couldn't handle it. And I went, oh my God, babe, this is it. This is your passion. You're passionate about animals, and not farm animals, but especially companion animals. And so instantly I said, okay, let's call the SPCA. That's our, you know, dog shelter. And let's find out, like, what you know, because of the financial freedom that we're very blessed to have, you could be a volunteer. And so we started that, and actually it's grown into a place where we're starting now to talk about her first business venture, which will be a public dog park, just to do it, just to give people a place to bring their animals. And it's something I notice. And I think anything that you have that's born into you, you don't realize that it's not normal. I thought everyone had a passion. I thought everyone had an obsession. And I thought people just maybe made some bad choices and didn't, or maybe had parenting that steered them a certain way. Because I would always wonder, like, what happened? There must have been something that you love, like white water rafting or silly putty or something. I mean, something must have been big to you. And it took a while to realize, wow, maybe you just were never encouraged to nurture a passion. The way that I was passionate about drums is because I raced bikes. I tried a little bit of football. I tried the spelling bee. I tried all these different things to narrow it down. And when I did all those things and they were kind of fun, and then I did drums and it was really fun, and then I got to teach drums and it was heaven, then it was like, oh, that's easy. That's my passion. So in a long answer to your short question, yes, I do see people that don't have a passion or don't recognize their passion. And it's definitely been part of my job to help them realize it. When I'm in a private lesson with a drummer who's about to turn 18, they're about to graduate from high school, and they're very good at the drums, sometimes we really have to do some serious soul searching to decide, all right, do you want to go to music college? Do you want to go to Berklee School of Music or Drummers Collective in New York? Or is there something that you're more passionate about? And sometimes I've had students go, man, I really like the drums and I'm happy that I'm good at them. But when I see somebody that's dressed weird, I want to help them. I'm like, dude, then you're into fashion. That's awesome. Like, let's look at fashion schools. Let's cultivate this. You can play drums for the rest of your life, you know? So yeah, so it's recognizing your passion can be a difficult thing. And it's good when they have people like you out there that are encouraging them to, that it's okay to have a passion. It's okay to follow your passion. It's okay to, you know, push forward with that stuff.
Mm. I want to get to how you monetize your passion, because I think that's a real big part of your story. Before I do, though, I from a parent, I hear my parent heart asking questions right now. I have two boys, and one plays the electric guitar and the other one plays drums. And what advice? Because, I mean, there are so many parents out there right now, or maybe not even their parents yet, but they want to be parents. What advice would you give when you must have watched a lot of crazy parents come in there and stand over their kids and force them into stuff, and other parents that really have opened the door to a life of passion, whether the drums was just a stepping stone into something else like crazy putty, silly right. putty, as you call it.
Yeah.
Or, but what is it you've learned? I know you're not a parent. I know you have two dogs, but what advice would you give as a non-parent to parents?
Sure. No. I mean, that's, you know, I think I started teaching private lessons when I was 17, and I'm 36 now. So it's been 20 years of every single day dealing with usually 10 to 12 parents per day since I was a kid. So even though I'm not a parent, I'm definitely an observer of parents and the direct relationship that their actions have to their kids, or the reactions their kids have to their parenting styles. There's a balance, you know, definitely there's over-parenting, which stifles things and causes everything to be done in secret. And then there's under-parenting, which causes anarchy. And there's somewhere in the middle. And that's probably the most impossible thing to find for any parent, I can only imagine. I know what over-parenting my dogs has done, and they rebelled. And so
I'm glad I'm not your neighbor.
Yeah, exactly. So drums and dogs. But I think when it comes to what's starting to be a hobby and hoping to become a passion, I think just pure support and just recognizing things. The one thing that a parent could do to recognize a passion would be really simple. It's called Christmas. So every year at Christmas, there's 40 new products that are going to come out that are geared straight toward your under 20-year-old child. And they're going to be the biggest craze in the entire world. Whether you have a little kid, they're going to have a new doll that comes out. If you have a teenager, they're going to have a new electronic device that comes out, like a Game Boy or a Nintendo or whatever. And if they're in their late teens, there's going to be a new gadget, like a new phone or an iPad. So those companies, Apple, Microsoft, Nintendo, spend billions of dollars trying to get your kid to buy that and to get you to buy that for your kid. So when your kid on Christmas says, "Dad, I want a new snare drum. Dad, I want a new soccer ball. Dad, I want a new this or that," it's directed towards their hobby. So they've chosen their hobby over what other companies have spent billions of dollars trying to lure them into. That's your moment. They're hooked. They just asked for a new snare drum instead of a Nintendo. That's insane. Recognize that moment and jump on it and say, "You got it, kid. Let's go down to the store right now. We'll get you a new snare drum. You know what? Let's get you a subscription to Modern Drummer magazine. I want you to know what's going on in this world." Now, you're not obsessing over it just yet as a parent, but you're recognizing that's crazy that they chose that hobby over everything else out there that's being, you know, kind of berated at them.
Mm. You know, I see a new book, Parenting Tips from a Non-Parent. I love
that's it.
Well, the truth is, as you said that, you know, again, you got me again with that little emotional twang going on here, which I find really interesting. But I think when people talk from such a deep well of understanding and passion, then obviously those emotional doors are always open. So thank you for that. And I really took something away from that. But let's talk about this monetization.
Sure.
Because I think that, you know, a lot of people are passionate. And that's why I train so many teachers. People want to teach. I mean, so many people who are called to purpose, they, you know, that sense inside of wanting to contribute and wanting their life to have meaning. And of course, you know, you've just not only discovered it, but you walked away from this very, very grand lifestyle to take a 30th of what you could have earned and accepted that you may or may not be able to turn that into anything more. And your wife was there to support you. But what's gone on now is you've gone on to make this crazy business that's incredibly successful, that's given you, again, now the life of your dreams by following the passion, but doing obviously certain things well to monetize it. Can you talk a little bit about the journey and maybe some of the hiccups and ups and downs and peaks and valleys of going from that sort of starting point to now really having this dynamic, successful, and wildly financially successful business?
Sure. Well, you know, it's kind of funny because a lot of these things that you and I are talking about, I've never been allowed to share them because they're almost like things that I don't know that I want the drum world necessarily to know about me. So I really appreciate you giving me this forum to open up this way. I just want to get that out of the way. I really appreciate what you're doing here. This means a lot to me. I didn't even notice how many of these things were trapped inside myself. So thank you very much. Mm. As far as the business, there's a couple things that I hope no drummers listen to this podcast because I don't want them to know my secrets. But there's a couple different things. One thing, there's two like real business principles that I've lived my business by, and it's actually worked. And I didn't know they would work in the beginning, and it wasn't until I reflected on it. But one was the "I wish" moment, which is if I ever say the words "I wish" out loud, that's my moment to act. And I remember saying, "I wish that Drummer X would do online video drum lessons because I want to learn from him so bad. And I just don't live anywhere near him." Now, this is in the very early stages of the internet, so it was a pipe dream. But I remember saying, the drummer's name is Dave Weckl. And I remember saying, "God, I wish Dave Weckl would do video lessons." And as soon as that came out of my mouth, I said, "Then I'll do it. I'll do it. Because if I wish it, somebody else wishes it." So that's a business principle to act on. The other thing, you know, that was really important to me is that I'm the client of my business. I'm the one that wanted this business in the first place. So who better knows, you know, what to do than me? I want it. I still wish some of my favorite drummers would make my business so that I could have that service. So those were really big things. I never thought, "Oh, this will do well. This will be successful." I thought, "Man, there's got to be a lot of drummers that want this." I mean, I remember with my wife, when we started the online side of our business, I was begging for her to just trust me enough that I was like, "Don't worry, babe, someday this will break even. It'll be awesome. We won't talk about this anymore." And that was a huge goal to me, to finally be out of the red. Oh my gosh, I thought that would be heaven, you know? So those little things were really big to me. As far as, you know, being able to monetize it, it was trying to find a good market value as far as, okay, what is a 5-minute educational video worth? And I did my research. And I felt, okay, at the time it was 99 cents because that's what iTunes was doing. And then eventually it grew to $1.99. And so there were those types of things. I've noticed that every time I did something where the main driving force was to make money, it's failed miserably. And every time I've tried to do something to help other drummers get better, it's been wildly successful. And so I try to really recognize, okay, what's happening here, Mike? Like, are you making this video because you think it'll sell a lot of copies? Because if so, you're going to fail. But if my mindset is like, oh my gosh, I just discovered this new thing, I can't wait to share it with the world, it's going to be totally successful because it's honest and it's going to have passion. So I think, you know, my two big business principles are looking for the I wish moment because I am a client, and then recognizing the fact that I am a client of my own website and my own service. So what do I want? What do I wish my favorite drummers would do for me? Well, I'll just do that for the rest of the world. And then I guess the last thing is that I never, ever look at the drum world for inspiration. The drum world is very, very small as an industry, which it always has been, and that's fine. But if I'm looking at color schemes of websites, or if I'm looking at, you know, graphic design, I want to look at Apple, McDonald's, Nike, Adidas. I want to look at the people that pay, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars for web design and graphic design and color schemes and all that stuff. So I'm always looking outside of the drum industry for my inspiration.
Did you ever, there was a book, I think it's called Pike's Fish Market. There's a famous fish store in Seattle.
Okay.
And they wrote a business book based on their principles. And as you were sharing these principles, I had this deep sense that within this within this conversation lies a business book, which is born in the same way. You have to read it. And just put Pike's Fish Market, and it could be called Fish. I can't remember the exact name. I've read it, but I want you to read that book. And I just feel, in some deep sense, that those principles, and I'm sure there's many others. If we dug around for the next 25 minutes, I'm sure we'll pull out others. But those founding principles of your empire that you've built is great. And there's one that you skipped over, which I want to dive into a little bit, which is this authentic piece, is that, you know, the people hate BSing. They know when they're being sold, they know when they're being driven a line, and that you kind of mentioned this authenticity. I can't remember exactly how you said it, but how you being truthful, and you know, that integrity piece, that look in the mirror that you do privately, and yes, that inner conversation, how that allows you to connect across the globe with your lessons. How important is that piece, and how, you know, and when you notice other people breaking those cardinal rules where they've lost themselves in their gimmicks and in their sales process, and that connection is missing, how abrasive is that to you?
That's, you know what, it's so funny that you bring that up, because that is the difference. You know, why is it working for me and not for this guy who has the same skill set and the same financial backing? That's the only difference. It's the fact that when I'm looking into that camera, I actually do want you to get better. You're not my competition. I'm not threatened by you. Your success is my success as an educator. So I want you to get the record deal. I want you to have all that. And I've always kind of used this analogy for myself in my own head, but like I said, there's a lot of things coming out right now. So for all your listeners, I'm sorry for babbling, but I've never had the opportunity to talk about some of this stuff. So, but one of the things I've always told myself in my head is, if this world turned into Star Trek, and I'm not a Trekkie or anything, but in the world of Star Trek, there is no money. If this world turned into Star Trek, what would change for me? Not a damn thing. Nothing would change. If you took all the money out of everything, nothing would change. I would do exactly what I do. And I think that's a big thing, is finding that. And I think that's the honesty is what financial freedom has given me. When I make a video, because the business has been so successful, I really don't care if it sells or not, because I'm already at a level where I'm not worried about sales. I'm not worried about any of that stuff. I'm worried about delivering quality you know, content. And God, what a...
I want to interrupt you because I think what's important for people not to miss is because you had that mindset from the beginning and you were willing to start and willing to be, I mean, I love that continuum kind of picture you painted in my head, is that, you know, you're just further ahead than somebody else or further along the line timeline. Of learning, the timeline. I really love that picture. But the truth was you started out that way. And I think that there's an argument that I've heard within everything you've said is that because of the philosophy was there in the beginning is why you enjoy the financial freedom. Now you have the financial freedom. You don't think about it at all. Whereas before you probably thought, holy, I hope we make some money to pay the bills.
Well, but, you know what though, to kind of, cause you're right. But the thing that I did was I had a job that allowed, you know, my job was teaching private drum lessons. And I kept that job while doing building mikeslessons.com. So I took care of my financial stuff in my job. And in my job, you're right, I was stressed about getting another student in person, and each student equaled $100 per month. And I had to have, you know, 56 students to make this payment and to do all this. And that job is why I was able to be myself 100% since day one on camera, because I didn't know this was going to do anything. I wasn't banking on this. I didn't need for it to work. I just thought it would help people. And that's kind of the difference. Like my business that I stressed about was very stagnant at times. It would just kind of stay put. It caused me stomach aches and headaches and everything. And then the online thing, it was me, 100% me just being myself. And so I got to watch those two businesses simultaneously, one stay stagnant with stress and one kind of grow with just pure passion. And that, you know, so I just kind of wanted to
absolutely. And you know, again, great business philosophy. This book is going to be really good. This business book, Through the Drum World, you got to read this book. I have one other little business idea. I don't know if we want me to do it offline or online. I don't know if I should say it online, but
bring it.
I was thinking, you know, great teachers are so rare. And when I look at my other son who plays guitar, and I look at, you know, people like myself who yearn to play the saxophone, that's the hidden instrument. I always say there's a hidden instrument inside everyone, and we just probably haven't unlocked it. I tinkle around on a guitar, but the saxophone is hidden inside me, and I know wants to come out. I almost feel like you could almost, as you expand your brand, you could almost bring on teachers and train them under your tutelage, so that within Mike's lessons could be the clarinet, could be the saxophone, and all these other things where, you know, you basically offer a one-stop shop for anyone who loves music to come and get lessons, but all the teachers are trained under your same guidance with the same attention to detail. I think it'll be a wonderful addition to what you're doing.
Well, that's definitely something I've, you know, considered. You know, I thought, well, I'll branch into bass and guitar to kind of round out the rhythm section and then eventually bring on other instruments. And the passion is once again, it's the deciding factor. I can find great bass players and even great bass teachers, but for them to be so passionate about the person on the other end of the camera getting better, that is so hard to find. It's been, you know, because the thing is, like, when you take somebody that's doing something 100% artistic, like playing an instrument, and then you expect them to have business savvy and on-camera personality, it's really hard to find. I didn't know that. it actually taught me a lot that I'm actually not an artist. Like that's when I started to divide, oh, okay, so drumming's my hobby. I'm not actually a natural artist, because dealing with artists, you realize they don't see the world the same way a business savvy person would. And, you know, you pitch them an idea about a certain thing, and the ideas that come out of their mouth, you think, you can't be serious. You really, like, yeah, we're going to take you down to the local college and we'll set up 10 drum sets and you'll hurdle them from different eras. And I'm like, wait, you really think that it's not going to be a logistic nightmare to go to a college and set up drum sets on their track? Like, but an artist, that's how they would think. Like, yeah, we'll just do that. And I'm like, dude, that can't be done. Like, so sometimes the artistic mind is amazing, because I would initially say that can't be done. But the artistic mind would say, well, why can't it be done? So You know, I've had the unique pleasure of dealing with artists my whole life as somebody that sees the world from a more of a business point of view. And it's been a really fun thing. But yeah, I would love to grow Mike's Lessons into a one-stop shop. It's just finding the right people with that special set of on-camera personality and passion. Passion is the thing to find, man.
Awesome. Well, with that said, I looked at the clock. I mean, I could chat with you all day. And I'm so excited about the opening about the door of our relationship. And I just think you truly exude, and every word that comes out of your mouth is just is so wise. And there's so much that whether people drum, whether they are artists at all, whether they're even business people, the philosophies that you share really are about a kick-ass life. You truly are. So I'm gonna final question to you is,
sure.
You know, it's called the kick-ass life, and what does a kick-ass life mean to Mike?
It means being happy, and that's it. And letting someone else define your happiness is what will stifle your happiness. And that happened to me in the touring world. I was in the middle of everyone else's dream, but not my own dream. And once I went down, like I said, like lost my big income or whatever, but I was teaching, that was my kick-ass life. I came home smiling every day, like, babe, are you ready for my new Top Ramen recipe? Like, I know we only have $5, but we're going to kick ass with this $5. And I was so excited. And I think just finding your true happiness and being okay with it, you know, that's what it's about. And I don't see a single reason why anything that you and I just talked about over the past 50 minutes and 13 seconds, I don't see any reason why that shouldn't apply to being a chiropractor, a dentist, a lawyer, you know, a basketball player. Why should it matter? These are passionate concepts, and mine just happened to get applied to teaching and drumming.
Sure. Well, I look forward to your business book. I look forward to your continued success. I look, you know, and you know, as I said, you know, I want to thank you so deeply for your words of wisdom and for sharing that. And I will have you back. And
please do.
I send my love to your wife and your dogs.
Thank you. And David, really from the bottom of my heart, thank you for being my shrink for the day and letting me get this stuff out that I didn't really know was trapped inside me.
Well, I appreciate it. I look forward to our next conversation.
You got it.
Ciao. I hope you see what I mean. Just amazing. And I know that the little lick he did, you couldn't hear it very well, but I'd never done that before. And so it was great to have him just go in there and play. But what a guy. What a beautiful hearted and giving individual who's really turned that corner of passion to fortune. And I love those stories. I love those stories. And his story. And I really love to meet his wife. I think that's so great that she's able to look at him and say, "Yeah, I'll do it. I'm in. I'm in to your change. I'm in, and I'll be here all the way." You know, and I'm sure at this moment, when she's discovering her own passions, and stepping into that life, what a wonderful thing. And that's the encouragement for each of you right now is to look at, you know, how do you step into that now? How do you live much more in that passion world where, you know, you got to listen again, that little voice inside is talking all the time, but the negative one is also yelling. And so underneath that kind of common sense, you know, way that you've been conditioned to think and conditioned to live your life, is that other part. I think I always call it the person you were born to be versus the person you've learned to be in order to survive. So anyway, follow your passion. One of my passions, as you know, is travel. And I do want to invite you. I am doing a week on the island in Belize, Thatch K, Thatchkcaye. Belize, if you have a look on there, and we'll have a wonderful Dr. Michael Colgan. Mind, body, and spirit, just hang out. We're going to hang out on the island for a whole week. I'm going to create the most beautiful adventure for you through mind, body, and spirit, and with one of the great, great, great minds. This guy is just a joy. One of the most alive people you'll ever meet, and he's 72. He looks like he's 60, you know, maybe even 58. Still does one-arm push-ups, but just a beautiful heart and so much to share. And I think that, you know, as you sort of step into your life fully, hanging out in these types of environments with people that just want to grow will be awesome. So Mind, Body, and Spirit, Thatch K, if you're interested, you can contact me on Facebook. There's a couple of spots left, and or you can call, or you can email me directly if you want. training101@shaw.ca, training101@shaw.ca. But I'd love to have you there. There are a few spots left, and what I would love to do is to know that the people that are coming are people that want to step into this kick-ass life, and to spend a week together could be one of the great investments. And I'm doing it so inexpensively because really, truly, I just want to get people down there. I'm going down anyway, so, and so is Dr. Colgan. So we, you know, I'm not paying him to be there. So just so you know this, this isn't like this. That's why we're able to do it. To make it really affordable for everyone. But I'd love you to be there. And really, you know, there's no great setup than Mike's passion, because this is all about discovering and living that passion through a kick-ass life. So I will see you, ladies and gentlemen, on the other side.
That was kick-ass.